Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk, hashtag with Bev. As you know, black mother, living in the UK, raising two young people. I'm not an expert in anything, just sharing thoughts, experience, and information with you in the hope that it helps a parent or somebody out there somewhere. So, you know the hashtag is always about a subject. So today, this subject is parenting together letter. Now, I found this letter in my downloads on my laptop, and I thought, and I'm trying not to kill myself laughing, but I thought somebody somewhere could use this letter. It's for when you and your partner split up and you have children that you're trying to parent together, even though you are no longer in a relationship with them. I'm going to try my best to read this letter verbatim without making any of my own comments, because you don't want to hear that right now. I want you to get this information so that if it's useful for some parents somewhere, and it'll end up helping a child or your children down the line, I'm going to try and read it straight. And then at the end, I'll give you my initial thoughts and response. Okay, people? Okay. So this letter is called Parenting Together Letter, for parents to write to each other. Amend and change it as best fits your situation, and then sign it. Talk it through together and encourage your ex to sign it as well. So it starts off, dear blankety blank, I know that our relationship together has changed. However, I realize how important it is that we continue a parenting relationship together in respect of our children. I recognize that there is much pain and hurt surrounding what has happened in the past. We must face these issues directly between the two of us. However, it is best for the child or children that these issues do not affect our relationship with them. As we deal with our child or children, I would like to put aside our issues so that we can both be good parents to them. This letter reflects my willingness and desire to agree with you a set of guidelines that can provide a healthy framework for us to be good parents. I promise to do everything possible to keep these guidelines and ask that you would also agree to them. Guidelines. I will respect you as the parent of my child or children. I will talk directly with you about agreeing the child or children's arrangements. I will be on time to agree pickups, and if I am late, I will tell you. I will be polite in my words to you. I will tell the child or children that it is not their fault that we are separating. I will not use the children or child to find out information about you. I will not give the children or child messages that I want to communicate to you. I will not speak badly about you in front of the children or child. I will not argue with you in front of the children or child. I will not restrict suitable contact for you with the child or children. I will not restrict suitable access for grandparents. I will agree on basic rules for the children or child around eating, sleeping, and playing, etc. And where these differ with yours, I will let you know. If we agree on arrangements regarding the children, I will speak politely to you and will seek to find a solution that works for both of us. If a child has an event that both of us attend, I will be polite and ensure that the child or children is pleased to have us both there. I will talk to you about problems that our child or children is or are facing and look to help where possible. If I fail in any of these guidelines, then I will try again. That's the end of the guidelines. And then the final sentence is, if we both follow the agreement, I believe things will get better and give our children or child a good hope for the future. Then you have signed and you have a signature and you have a date. Why? First thing I kind of want to say is that is really a white people thing. But when I think about it, doesn't matter if what culture you are. You know, if a relationship's not working, you're in pain and you're angry. And so a lot of things are said when you're in pain, when you're in anger. And, you know, this agreement is really if the two of you can even bear to speak to each other. But I think over time, when the initial shock and the initial real hurt and anger disappears, well, it doesn't always disappear, but, you know, when that kind of subsides and you can think straight, this kind of agreement is useful because you're both singing from the same page. And I mean, you know, even if I'd given this to some my partner, I'm sure that there would be things that he would want to tweak. So I think, you know, you can tweak, you can do that until you get something that both of you feel happy with and that you agree that you can stick to. And, you know, I like the last part where it says, if I fail in any of these guidelines, then I'll try again. You know, it's not that I'm going to blame you or you're going to blame me, but we're actually going to try and act like adults and, you know, try again. You know what I mean? And that's kind of hopeful. I mean, And that's positive, because at the end of the day, the reality is that it's the children who feel the breakup of the relationship. And as a parent, I should have taken this WhatsApp thing off my laptop, you know, but it's going to keep ping, ping, pinging. And as a parent, you know, it's ultimately we want the best for our kids. All right. But sometimes, you know, and I'm honest, when I was in pain, the kind of person I am, when I was in pain, you know, I kind of still did things for the benefit of others, even though it was killing me. But a couple of things. Number one, if you have a breakup, you definitely need to get some support. I keep talking about it. People laugh. You can shout at the radio or the podcast. I can't hear you, so I can say what I want to say, right? But for me, I had one-to-one therapy. I was in therapy already because of an issue that I'd had at work. And I like talk therapy, and I needed someone that I could talk through things with. And so when my relationship had broken down, I was having support already and it was in place. Yeah. The person wasn't telling me you need to leave or you need to do this, you need to do that. You know, counseling or one-to-one therapy is not about that. It is about you expressing and then exploring some of the things that I either accepted and why I accepted them and where did that come from for me to actually look at it for myself, right? I also had a mediator. I also googled for mediators to be able to help my ex-husband and I have a conversation whereby, you know, we met some agreements. And one of the things that the mediator did was ask whether or not we felt that the children living with me was a good, was what was wanted. Did he want to raise the children? So we had an agreement about that. And then we had to talk about, well, if the children were staying with me, were you going, you know, can we now talk about the finance around what you're going to give for the children's support and rearing? And so we had a conversation about that. It was not about blaming each other, although some of that did spill out. But the mediator did a really good job of keeping us on track. Then I think the mediator asked whether or not we wanted to have more, because we had one session and they wanted to know whether or not we wanted to have more. And he didn't see the point. The key things that we had agreed were put in place. And then, you know, I had to feel my way through certain things, situations. Because I'm in my head a lot, something like this would have given me some guidelines of how I would have probably wanted to make things happen. But I had to live through the experience without these guidelines, okay? I had to make decisions that were quite difficult, you know. So, for example, I will respect you as the parent of my child. Honestly, at the beginning, nah. Because of the way we split and what had happened, I was just like, I mean, I respect this brother Tal. But the reality is, right, that he is the father of my children. And I love my children. And at some point, I loved him enough to have children. So, you know, respect isn't something that, well, you can lose it. But, you know, that's just not the way I think. You know, he is their father, and I'm glad that he's their father, and I'm glad that they got contact with him. I made a very firm decision at the beginning that because of the experiences that I had, I didn't want to repeat them. And the problem is that sometimes you just do repeat them without even realizing that you're doing it. I apologize for the pickings of pling, pling, pling. But, you know, I haven't disabled my WhatsApp on here. So anyway, where was I? Because of the things that had happened to me when I was growing up in my past, I didn't want to repeat them. But the problem is that if you don't have somebody guiding you or supporting you when you're trying to make a change, then you struggle or you choose the path that you already know. So when it came to him having access to the children, I was very clear that I wanted him to have access. I think he probably, and I don't know, but I think just from the experience, every time he was trying to organize the time to have the kids, and I would say things like, you know, we need a more advanced notice, he kept saying to me, oh, you always make this difficult. And I was like, I'm not really making this difficult, bro. I just am a busy person and we plan our shit. Sorry, we plan our stuff. So, you know, we need to know. So there were times where he'd call and he'd want to see them like tomorrow. Or there were times that I would say, you know, can you plan it a week in advance? And, you know, so we had issues around that. But let's finish that point. But I let him have access because it wasn't important about me winning anything. It was more important about the children still knowing that their father wanted to be in contact with them. And it wasn't going to be, oh, we're going to see a result, or I'm going to see a result in year one. It was about when they were adults and whether or not they'd had relationship with their dad. I didn't really want to be the one to prevent them from having that, whereas I knew that that kind of happened in my life. My mother did not prevent me, but my father left the country and didn't look back. And so that leaves a lot of open wounds that you have to kind of heal over time. And I just wanted my children not to have that wound on top of all the other stuff that they probably would end up that life's going to throw at them. So I was like, no, he's going to have, you know, contact is definitely there. The communication was a real cropper, because I feel that he was angry at me. And remember, people, this is just my point of view, all right? So, you know, I believe that he was angry at me. And so therefore, he then communicated to the children, oh, I want to see you at this time. And then the kids would have to come back to me and say, oh, Dad wants to see us at this time. And then I would have to say, but actually, we've got something planned on that day. And when I would call him to deal with it, he would then go into an argument. And I'd be like, I'm not here to argue. I'm just trying to arrange that you should talk to me as the adult. I'm the adult in this house. So the children can't make decisions for themselves in the sense of like, oh, Mum, I'll see you later because, you know, I'm going down the road because Dad's picking me up. No. You have to. You're in my house. When you're leaving my house or going anywhere, I need to know what's going on. So you can't be having that kind of relationship out there. We need to bring this home. And every time that I attempted to do that, there were arguments between him and I. And so I got to the point where it was like, okay, so your father's made an arrangement with you. Then I would text him or call him, listen to a barrage, and then sort of say, okay, let's find another time, or yes, they can do it, or no, they can't, and phone down. So having this kind of agreement thing from the get-go up the front would have probably helped. But you know, when you're hurting in a relationship, or when you're splitting, or when you have split and you're divorced, and you haven't really had time to look at stuff like, you know, let's have an agreement like this, you can just get lost. It's like actually being in a maze and you don't know, you turn left and whatever you encounter, you try and deal with it. And then for a bit you think, oh, you know where you're going and you're getting out of the maze. And then the maze just closes in on you and you find yourself back in the same spot like, shit, didn't I sort this out before? Why am I doing this again? So an agreement, or a parent together letter like this would have been kind of helpful. I will not speak badly. Should I just go down and maybe I will talk directly with you. Well, we've covered that. I will be on time. Listen, if anybody knows me, I get there early. You know what I mean? I just really don't like black people timing, but that's me. I will be polite in my words. Yep. Generally, I am kind of polite unless I'm so mad that I don't even recognize myself. I will tell the children it's not their fault. Yeah, I did that. I told them it wasn't their fault, and I told them that their father loved them, but just the two of us could not be together anymore. And only as they got older did I explain any issues around that, because I've got a 19 and 17-year-old. And even now, I'm kind of like, I don't really want to play the blaming game. You know, I'm kind of like, you know, it is what it is. We were together and we were meant to be together for that time. We have some beautiful memories from that, and we have two beautiful children from that. And that's kind of where I want to sit with all of that, because I want my children to grow up emotionally as healthy as I can possibly do, which means that sometimes I have had to sacrifice some of the things that I've wanted to say, but I've found a different way to say them. I will not use the children to find out information about you. Well, it's been about 8 years since we have been separated and divorced, and I do not ask my kids about their dad, his life. Whatever they trip out of their mouth, it's up to them. But at the end of the day, I don't purposefully sit down and say to them, so what's your dad doing now? And who is your dad with? And how, this and that and whatever. I'm not interested. I'm too busy living my life. So why am I going to spend time investigating his? If we were meant to be together, then we would know about each other's lives. You know what I mean? In that respect. So I don't really want to put that pressure on my kids. Not that I'm saying you do, but I'm just, you know, giving you my spiel. I will not speak badly about you in front of the children. Ooh, sir. Breathe in, breathe out. I have consciously made a decision that I would not speak badly about the children's father in front of him. Whether he believes me or not, it's totally up. I don't care. I know what I've done with my children. However, I'm not sitting here saying that I'm some saint. What I'm saying is you need to know as an adult, when is it appropriate to say certain things? Now, when me and my girlfriends, and I go around their house and my children are nowhere around and we were sitting down having a drink and a chat and I wanted to say certain things. Yes, man. Monsieur, what may I have to say? Right? Because we need to get it out of my system. You understand? So yes, when I was sitting down having lovely glasses of wine with my friends, if I wanted to talk badly about him with my adult friends, then, and I needed to get it out of my system, then yeah. And also, you know, as I said, I was getting support. So if I really wanted to go somewhere and I didn't want to talk to my friends about it, because after a while, friends love you, but boy, we just want the record to change, yeah? So I had one-to-one therapy and I would talk to my counsellor about any other feelings or whatever I felt, because then I was in a space where I was going to allow myself to explore why I felt that way. And if I was angry, you know, I was justifiably angry and it was okay for me to be angry, but I didn't want to live in that space of being angry, because then you get stuck and I didn't want to get stuck. I wanted to move forward. I will not argue with you in front of the children. Okay, I might have had a heated discussion, but not to the point where I'm telling him about him BC and him whatever and, you know, moving, set. Nah, no, I didn't do that. I was very English, as he liked to call it. I will not restrict suitable contact. No, I didn't. I will not restrict suitable access for grandparents. No, I didn't restrict them on that, or family or friends that we used to have. I didn't restrict him taking them with him when he was doing and going places to visit family. In fact, I have to give him complete credit because he opened up the family, and the kids know their aunts, their uncles, their cousins, their grandparents, even new family members that have been found, and they know them all. And that is really down to him, because it's his family and his side of the family. You know, and we've still got some mutual friends that I keep in contact with, but I think it was really healthy for them. I will agree on basic rules for the children. Well, when we split, my children were, 11 and 8, or 12 and 11. I think they were those kind of ages. And so they already kind of, knew what they was eating and what they weren't. I got my eldest daughter has allergies, but she's had them from birth. So, you know, she knew what she could and couldn't eat. And, you know, my job was to empower her in being very clear about what she could and couldn't eat, even though he knew. But, you know, sometimes you can forget. And so therefore, you know, they were able to talk and tell me things about what they were eating and all the rest of it. So I was cool with that. If we disagree, arrangements regarding the children, I will speak politely to you. Well, yes, I will speak politely to you, or the other option is, I'm not telling you, but if you ask me to do something, I'm not doing it. So let me just be clear. My daughter, my youngest daughter, I think about a year ago, they asked if she could go on holiday. They wanted to take her on holiday. And I was like, okay, where are you taking her? When are you going? Who's going to be there? Which are all the questions that any normal parent would ask. Okay. And I was given information. My youngest daughter has now got a medical condition. And so I wanted to make sure that they had taken out the correct insurance, and that if she should require it, that they knew about the condition and knew what they needed to do. And I was informed that the person who was also going to be on this holiday was a nurse. And so my fears, or, you know, my anticipated fears were alleviated. So because my daughter was leaving the country and she was going to go on holiday with her father, I had to write a letter that gave him permission to have her. And so I wrote that letter so that if it was required, that they knew that I'd given permission as the responsible adult for her to go on holiday. So she went to Italy, and Isla Plias is there, had a brilliant time, and came home. And it was only when she came home that I then found out that not only did her father not go on the holiday, neither did his partner go on that holiday, but that my child was sent on holiday with his partner's brother and wife and daughter. And because the daughter was the same kind of age as my daughter was kind of, what was it? Companion? So I was extremely angry, because I feel, rightly or wrongly, but I think I'm right. If you tell me you're taking our daughter on holiday and you don't, but somebody else does, not even somebody I know, it's wrong. Have I spoken to him about it? Honestly, no. But I had decided that my daughter was not going on holiday again with him until she got to the age of 18, where she's able to make her own decision. She turns 18 in 6 months. So after that, she's an adult up to a certain degree. And if she chooses that she wants to go on holiday with her dad, well, she's an adult. But, you know, I think that was out of order. I think that was wrong. And, you know, at the end of the day, I have attempted to approach the subject, but do you know what? She's alive. She had a brilliant holiday. God was watching her. You know, she's totally enjoyed herself. They totally took care of her, you know. And she's got a memory, and she's home, and she survived it. So I'm a living experience, and I'm sure that there are parents out there who are going through more than what I've gone through. You understand? But if I fail in any of these guidelines, then I will try again. Well, my daughters are certain age now, 19, soon to be 20, no, 19, soon to be 20, and the 17, soon to be 18. Will my job as a parent finish? No, it just enters a new phase. And probably there should be an agreement, a letter, a parenting together letter that I can adapt for the next transition stage of their relationship. But however we look at it, right, parent, there is no guideline on how to be a parent. There's no books. I'm sorry, the books that they're writing, they ain't talking for me. Yeah, I'm talking for me, and you know my experience and what I have gone through, which you know, I've survived, and my children are two beautiful children who are, you know, have the benefit of mum and dad in their life who live separately, and they have really good relationships with the dad and family, and they have a good relationship with me and my family. So something's worked, didn't it? So I'm going to just sign off now. Wish you all who've heard this the best of luck with, you know, your parenting together letter, your parenting together journey. Remember, you don't have to do it on your own. If you need support, find it. You know, if you're not into one-to-one therapy, then you're not into one-to-one therapy. If you just got one friend that you want to talk to about this, then do that. You know, but you must find, I think it's really important. What's helped me to survive a lot of stuff is to have the right people around. And sometimes it's really been difficult to find who are the right people until they let you down. That's why I'm quite into having sort of therapy where I can go and say what I got to say, and them therapists are bound by confidentiality and they can't go and talk about my business to anybody, but especially not my people then. You understand? So find what works for you. You know, it's hard enough being a parent living together, let alone being parents in separation. Okay? So I don't know. If you want a copy of this agreement, reach out to me. But until then, thank you for listening. Stay safe because we're still in COVID, and be blessed. Until then, I'm out.